Psalm 126. Psalm 126. I want to preach a message tonight. And the title of the message is Getting Through. Well, in fact, the title of the message isn't just getting through. The title of the message is Not Just Getting Through. Not Just Getting Through. You know, the United States has been through many things in its history, and we're still here today. Many things have come, and we've survived them. We've gotten through them. But I want to preach a message tonight about not just getting through. Not just getting through. Because I don't believe it should be our desire. I don't believe it's a desire or the purpose of God that we would just kind of squeak through this by the mercy and grace of God. I believe God has a greater purpose in it. And I believe the purpose is twofold. I believe the purpose is that God's people would be awakened to their need for a greater and deeper relationship with Him. I believe that's one of the purposes of all this, that God would wake us up as individuals and as a church, so that as we come through this and as we go through this and as we come out of this time, that our faith would not be weakened, our relationship with God would not be less, but our faith would be stronger, and our relationship with God would be greater. I believe that's the purpose God has for us. But I believe God also has another purpose. And I believe that purpose and God's desire is that through this, that people that don't know Jesus Christ, their Savior, would be awakened to the reality of life and death and eternity and heaven and hell, in Jesus Christ and salvation, and they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, there's many times when people go through surgery, and I had hip surgery a number of years ago, and as I anticipated that hip surgery, I knew it would be challenging. I knew there would be challenges to it. I knew that the doctor had to go in and just do a lot of work on my hip, and I don't want to go into the details of that. No, I never did watch a video about it because I didn't want to see it. But I knew it was a painful process. I knew it was a hard process to go through. But I anticipated that when I came out of that surgery and after that surgery, I didn't want to just be my legs sewn up and to limp along as I had in the past. I wanted to come away from that surgery much better than when I went in. That's the whole purpose for. And I believe the purpose that God has through all of this is not that we would just squeak through, not that we just barely get through it, but that we would come through it, and when we are through it, whether it's a couple of weeks or whether it's a month or whether it's a couple of months, when we gather together again, that we'll be rejoicing in the great things that God has done in us and through us for His glory. And so that's my prayer, that's my desire, is that there would be a greater rejoicing in the end than there was before. And so when we look at Psalm 126, Psalm 126 is a psalm that speaks about the children of Israel, the Israelites, the Jewish people, and it's speaking about after they came out of captivity. They had been in captivity in Babylon, and God brought them out of that. And tonight I want to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want us to see three points from it, and that I trust that we can relate to our lives as individuals, our lives as Christians, as children of God, and our life as a church in these days in which we live and what we're going through, because it's not easy. It's a challenging time. It's a difficult time, but I want us to see three things. I want us to see, number one, a great return. Israel had a great return from captivity. I want us to see, number two, that they had a glad reaping, that as they returned, there was gladness in their hearts for what they reaped as they returned. But number three, I want to see that there was a great return, there was a glad reaping, but there was a glorious rejoicing. And we can have a great return. We can have a glad reaping. But I want us to have, and I'm praying that we would have, a glorious rejoicing. A glorious rejoicing. And so number one, a great return. Look at verse number one, down through verse number three. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. They had a great return. You know, if you turn over to Psalm 137 for a moment, Psalm 137, just verse number one, Psalm 137, it speaks about when they were in captivity. In Psalm 137, in verse number one, it says this, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required us of a song, and they that wasted us required of us mercy, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And it says they sat down by the rivers of Babylon, and we wept when we remembered Zion. And they said we wept when we remembered where we had been before, where we had been and where we were now. And you know, that's the way some of us or some of you are just thinking, and we ought to be. We ought to be just weeping over the fact that we can't gather together. I believe we shouldn't be relaxing and joyful about the fact that that we can sit at home in the comfort of our couches and armchairs and just sit there with a soda or something else and watch the preacher and the pastor preach online. No, we should be sad. We should be grieved that we can't be together and see each other face to face and commune and fellowship one with another. Because this is not what God intends, and this is not what God has for the future. This is not the future of the church. This is just an intermediate period, like the Israelites are in captivity. God wants these seats that I'm looking at right now to be filled with people once again. He wants the doors to be opened. He wants folks to come in. He wants us to sit. He wants us to sing. He wants us to praise. He wants us to give testimony. He wants us to fellowship and worship together before his presence. But right now we can't. And so we do our best. And as they did that, they sat down by the willows and they wept and they said, how can we sing? But then there was a great return. Look what it says in verse number one. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Our mouth was filled with laughter. Our tongue was singing. And you know, there's coming a day. I know there's coming a day. I don't have the slightest doubt in my mind that there's coming a day where those doors are going to open up. Those doors are going to open up. The lights are going to be on and the seats are going to be filled. And Lakes Pond Baptist Church is going to be singing as a congregation, praying as a congregation, testifying as a congregation, fellowship and worshiping as a congregation in this place right here. I don't doubt that for a minute. And I can't wait for that day. What a day of rejoicing that's going to be. What a day that's going to be when we all get together once again at Lakes Palm Baptist Church, right here in this facility, right here in this building, when the parking lot is filled and when we smile and we're able to shake one another's hand. You know, we won't complain about how tight the aisle is and the fact that we won't be able to get through to shake anybody's hand. We won't complain about the fact that it takes a little long to greet one another. No, I believe that we'll be glad to shake each other's hand. I'm just looking for that day. That's what they were speaking about. They said, man, when we got back, when the captivity was turned and we got back, we were like them that dream. They said it was like a dream. We just filled with joy. It was a great return. And they said, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, that whereof we are glad. And when we get through this, As God brings us through, we're going to be able to have testimonies. Man, the Lord did some great things for us. Some of you are going to have testimonies. You're going to say, well, my hours were cut down here, but God took care of me over here. I missed out here, but God provided here. And I didn't have this, but God gave me that. God did this, and we are going to have testimonies. And you're going to have testimonies of what God has done. And there's going to be a great return for the church of Lakes Palm Baptist Church in the next few months. It's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. And so they had a great return. In fact, go to Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1, we can see, and we won't look in great depth at a few portions of Scripture in Ezra tonight. But look at verse number, Ezra chapter 1 and verse number 5. As they're going back to Jerusalem, and they are free and they're allowed to return, then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, and with precious things, beside all that was willingly. And so here they are, they're returning. And what a return it was. And so I'm looking forward to, and you ought to be looking forward to, we ought to be looking forward to with anticipation to a great return to Lakes Palm Baptist Church. Now, as we know, as we come through this, like everybody says, there'll be a new normal. It because it won't be the same. Life will never be the same in all ways, shapes, and form as it was before this. There's changes that have come about. There always is. They keep saying, well, this is the new norm. This is the new norm. Well, you know, I'm just waiting for the day we come back and we see Norm Pastorelli Jr. walk in and we look and say, this is the new norm, huh? And, this is the new norm. And I can't wait for that day. And maybe the new norm will be that he sits right up here in the front seat right in the middle. And no, I'm only kidding. But anyways, all right? So anyways, there's a great return. But you know, not only was there a great return, but that great return came with a glad reaping. Look at verse number five. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap with joy. You know, when Israel was in captivity, they sat down by the willows, and it says they hung their harp by the river, and they hung their harps in the willow, and the Bible says they wept. You know, I wonder how much we're really grieved over not only what is going on, because that has gripped us, but has it grieved us that we can't meet together? Or have we just said, oh, well, this is the way it is? Has it grieved us? It ought to grieve us. It ought to really grieve our hearts that right now we are unable, due to the circumstances, to worship together. It ought to break our hearts. You know, turn to two passages of Scripture, because it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Look at Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 1. Lamentations chapter 1. You know, these prophets like Jeremiah and Daniel, they didn't just take the captivity that they were in Babylon as just, well, we got to endure it. We got to go through it. God will get us through it. No, it broke their heart. It grieved their heart to the point where it caused them to weep. Look at Lamentations chapter 1 and verse number 16. For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Zion spreadeth forth her hands, and there is none to comfort her. And so Jeremiah wept. Man, he cried. He wept over Israel being in captivity. Daniel was the same way in Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel had read what Jeremiah had written. And in Daniel chapter 9, in verse number 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed unto the Lord my God. And Jeremiah wept before God. Daniel wept and prayed and poured out his heart with weeping and sackcloth and ashes and mourning before God. And you know what? God heard their prayers. Look at verse number 20 of chapter 9. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. God heard Daniel's cry. As Daniel began to weep, God sent Gabriel to show him that he was heard. And back in Psalm 126, it says, the people wept. In Psalm 126, there was a great weeping. There was a great reaping, because first there was a great weeping. Look at, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And Jeremiah wept. Daniel wept. And we ought to weep too. We ought to pray. And we ought to search our hearts. And we ought to pray and seek God's face and ask God to give us a great return. But when you go back to Ezra, you see that there was a great reaping in Ezra chapter 1, we saw it. But go look at Ezra chapter 2, because as they come back, in verse number 64 of Ezra chapter 2, the whole congregation together was 42,303 score. Besides his servants, their maids, of whom there are 7,337. There were among them 200 singing men and singing women. There were horses, were 736. Their mules, 245. Their camels, 435. Their asses, 6,720. And boy, when God caused them to return, there was a great reaping, and I believe that great reaping was because, first of all, men and women and prophets and priests and different individuals, they wept before God and they prayed and they sought God's face. And you know, we need to pray. You need to pray. I need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray that God brings us through that and God returns us to his house to worship him. And so, number one, there was a great return. Number two, there was a glad reaping. But you know, number three, this is really what God wants, a glorious rejoicing. Because in verse number 6, it says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Go back to Ezra chapter 3 for a moment. Because when the children of Israel got back to Jerusalem, boy, they were excited. They came back. There was a great return, and there was a glad reaping. They came back with all the things that they needed to just begin to build the temple. And in chapter 3, it says, verse number 10, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. So they come back, and there's a great return, and there's a great reaping, because God provided for them all that they needed to begin to rebuild the temple. And as we return, and as things get back, life gets back to a new normal, there's going to be a time in your life, there's going to be a time in our lives, there's going to be a time in the life of the church where it's just rebuilding and getting things going again. And there's going to be a time in your life financially of rebuilding. There's going to be a time of rebuilding, whether it's in your career or in just the ordinary things of life. Just get everything back going in the direction that it was going before. But you know, as that went on, something happened. And what happened was, when they got back to Jerusalem, they laid the foundation of the temple. And then they got consumed with building their own houses and their own lives. And then God had to raise up some prophets. If you go over to chapter 6, God had to raise up some prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. Look at verse number 5 of chapter 5. In fact, look at chapter 4 and verse number 24. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. So it ceased under the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And then the prophets Haggai, the prophet, Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, even unto them. And they, you know what they prophesied about? If you took time and read the book of Haggai, they prophesied about, hey, don't be consumed with rebuilding your life. Be consumed with the work of the Lord. Be consumed with the work of the Lord. Make the work of the Lord your priority. And when you go back to Psalm 126, this is where I want to really bring our attention to as we come down through this message tonight in Psalm 126, that there's going to be a return. And it'll be a great return, and it'll be a glad reaping. And we'll return, and we'll have joy, and we'll rejoice, and we'll sing praises unto God, and we'll sing to God be the glory, great things He hath done. And we'll have testimonies. But I believe God wants much more. And I believe in Psalm 126, in verse number 6, is what God wants. God not only wants us to return, but as we return and when we return, He wants seats in His house that were empty to be filled. But not only filled with God's people that knew the Lord Jesus Christ before this went on, but people that have come to know Jesus Christ, their Savior. You see, in chapter 126 and verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. And look what it says, bringing his sheaves with him. Bringing his sheaves with him. My concern, my burden, my prayer, just a consuming desire of my heart is this. Not only that we would return, but that there would be others that would return with us. That there would be people, individuals, men and women and young people, that through this would be awakened to the reality of life and death, heaven and hell, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and would realize and would just be stirred up by the Spirit of God in these days and these times, even be shaken up and turn to Jesus Christ and call upon Him for their salvation. And that there would be a rejoicing, there would be a glorious rejoicing. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because you see, we can have a glad reaping as after a great return. But my prayer is that we would have a glorious rejoicing in all of it and through all of it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Paul says, what's our crown of rejoicing? He says, it's you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming. Why? Because look back at verse number 5 of chapter 1. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And look at this, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And I believe a glorious rejoicing that is seen in Psalm 126 is a picture of what we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, that others, many, would be our crown of rejoicing, that they would come to know Jesus Christ, their Savior, through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why every message, listen, as I preach the word of God, and as I, as your pastor, seek to encourage you and comfort you and just help lead you through these days, every time I step behind this pulpit, every time I get on that Facebook, every time I go live on that internet, my thoughts, my heart, my burden is that there's someone out there watching without Jesus Christ that would realize and understand, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it every time I step behind this pulpit, that God loves you. He died for you. His Son, Jesus Christ, died for you. And if you don't repent and turn to Jesus Christ and call upon the name of the Lord, you will perish. You will perish. But God said he loved you. He said, I gave my only Son. For God so loved the world. He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son for you. That whosoever, you, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And folks, members of Lakes Pond Baptist Church, listen, we ought to look forward to a great return. We ought to look forward to it. We ought to pray for it. We ought to anticipate it. We ought to pray that God will give us a glad reaping, that he will bring us through, not just barely, but he will give us a victory. Thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory and through Jesus Christ. But more importantly, that we come through, and after this is all said and all this done, and the next few months, that we would see others worshiping with us that have turned to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe there's someone here tonight. Maybe you're listening tonight. Maybe you're watching tonight. Maybe you're listening tonight. Please, please, would you please take time to think seriously about your eternity? Would you please believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? For the rest of us, we'll come through. God's keeping us, and he'll bring us safely through. And he's going to bring us all the way to glory. But for you, if you don't trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, and I say this kindly, I say this lovingly, I say this with pleading in the depths of my heart, but I say it based upon the authority of the Word of God. If you don't turn to Jesus Christ and trust him as your Savior, you'll perish in an eternity in a lake of fire without Christ and without God. But it doesn't have to end that way. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so Israel was in captivity, 70 years in captivity. And sure, it was rough. I mean, it was a lot rougher than what we're going through. They hung their harps on the willows and they wept. And They couldn't sing, and there was no joy. But then there was a great return, and they returned with singing and gladness, and they returned with just a glad reaping as God brought them back, and they saw the foundation begin to be built. And then there was a glorious rejoicing as not only was the temple finished, but that others as well were worshiping with them. And may it be our prayer, may it be our longing and our burden that as God brings us through, He brings us through because we've wept and prayed and we continue to share the gospel and preach the gospel, that He brings us through with others rejoicing with us as newborn children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed.